What's up and welcome to this playoff edition of the Swolecast here on rotogrinders.com. I'm David Kinchin, joined by the regular cast of characters that you know and love and rely on when it comes to your information for your daily fantasy contest, any sort of rando contest, crypto advice. Davis sometimes, he hasn't given out stocks tips lately, but I'm sure he's got some hot fire takes. We're not going to be talking a lot about DFS. Let's just put it out there.
What?
To start. Yeah, I know. Because I saw like PayPal, my money, or DFS PayPal money was like, well, good. You saved me an hour. Imagine like listening to this show. I don't want anyone like listening to this show for like an hour being like, where's the DFS stuff? Did I miss anything?
Yeah. And I get that concern because watching the Swolecast is always one of the best ways to maximize your time, EV.
Someone said, oh, good. A playoff show. We don't have any of those. So we're going to be focused on just the teams, just the overs, that's overview people have come to love, the futures. You're going to get some props, but some prop bets in, some playoff best ball. I have not done any
props.
But my best I did see Tuttle asking about like proper lineup construction when it comes to playoff best ball. So
yeah, I'm sure he's. I was considering actually trying to draft one for a second, and then I decided it wasn't worth
it. Oh, so you haven't drafted one?
No, Pete's the expert. Petey props.
I thought you got in
playoff Pete, bud.
I thought Tuttle. You got in playoff best balls yesterday for the first time in a while.
I was looking at it, just decided didn't really feel like it.
That was Top Shot that you got into yesterday for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember the Top Shot Stimmy that they handed out a while back. Still hadn't used mine.
Nice.
I saw Ship My Money on Twitter talking about those Greg Brown hustle moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, let's see if I can get in. And, you know, for the first time in about 4 months, I was able to get in a drop. Usually they've gatekeeped the rent seekers like myself out so strongly that I can't even get a
pass. When you have a negative collector score, Tuttle,
is that even possible? Can you have a negative collector score?
No, but I did see when I went to sell all the moments that I bought yesterday, how my then 10 collector score would subtract by 2 each.
Imagine having a collector score below 5,000. That is pure rent seeking.
So the first part of the show will be focused on football takes. And then the second part, we'll delve into more of the millennial.
David's going to have a 30-minute symposium on the unclaimed Mooncats.
No, all Mooncats have been claimed. You can't claim any more than would have been claimed.
Let's say rescued, the politically correct term.
Yes. Second of all, I don't talk about Mooncats that much on this show. It's other people asking me about the Mooncats.
Everyone go look at Soccer Dave's Twitter profile and tell me if he doesn't talk about Mooncats a lot.
Oh, it's coming, those
pals, pal peers.
Sports ball's coming. It's coming. But anyways, we're going to talk about
football. How does it feel? How does it feel to shill not even the greatest cat related NFT project?
Davis, here's the thing. I know that you kind of got in really late and were doing like board camels and everything else. So like your regret is
Fight Club.
Yeah, your regret is different than mine. Mine's like selling my board apes, like selling these, not getting into punks earlier. Whereas yours is like, you never really got to experience that success. You're the guy who's never won a GPP, pining on what it would be like to win a GPP.
I don't know.
I can't believe we're doing this conversation again.
I've made a lot of money on NFTs. I can't be too upset about it.
Okay. All right. So let's start though. The football talk. Obviously, we've got some pretty nice games this week. Like I like the fact that they expanded the number of teams in the playoffs just because we get better matchups.
The Steelers are in now.
Yeah,
I'm excited. So that's the game that we're like least excited about. What's the second most least exciting game you're?
I think Bucks Eagles is going to be pretty gross.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. They played in the regular season and it was not fun.
Bucks have struggled a little bit lately.
Yeah. When you lose your two best receivers, according to Antonio Brown. Did you guys see that clip where he was just like trashing on all those dudes?
But Mike Evans is also not healthy, which is part of it. Like I mean, their week 16, week 17 offense was all backups.
When you got to play Keyshawn Vaughn, things aren't going to go very well.
Yeah. Anytime you're relying on someone from Vanderbilt University.
And we're getting what, Bell Cal Lenny this week, right? Rojo not playing, Leonard back at practice. I mean, it's full Lenny season.
You know, I gotta say though, DraftKings did actually post like a reasonable full slate Saturday to Monday. Like there's like a couple 20K to first, 50K to first, which is, I don't ever remember them offering something that good since they removed the late Sunday game. Like normally these contests have just been so bad. So that's the slate I'm playing.
Mm-hmm. You also got flash drafts too. Just remember, correlate your picks. If you're on, I know we didn't have flash draft tutorials on the list for this Swolecast, but just trust me. If you're on DraftKings
Kitchen, be honest, are you even still playing those or are you so far lost?
No, I'm watching a game, but here's the thing though, because I cut the cord. So I watch the ESPN games and it's like, it feels like it's like in a minute delay and it's kind of brutal.
Yeah.
And it makes it brutal, especially for flash drafts. It removes it. Like it puts you at a negative advantage for those.
So, I actually thought of you with the Tyreek Hill news last week.
Yeah.
It was like Kitchen's grinding these flash drafts for sure.
So on the HDTV antenna, so it has to be a game that is on locally on Fox or CBS. Those are, or NBC, the night game. Those are the only games that can do flash drafts because that is like happening in real time. But anyways, correlate your picks. If you pick a receiver at first, you can't go and pick like another receiver or someone from else. Like just correlate your picks on those five.
Kitchen is just really breaking strategy here. Like just
he found the skeleton key to fantasy correlation.
Pretty impressive.
I'm leaking flash draft alpha here. So if people just want to play the best plays in their flash drafts and it doesn't work like that. Just because it's the best multiplier or whatever, you got to correlate if you want to take down those big boys.
I could see you doing like a little video, Kitchen, like a TikTok, and it's like, stop, correlate, and listen. He's here for his.
God, I thought you were going to do that right there.
Could that go on his dad blog?
Oh, you'd love it. It'd be okay. Like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, reading Rainbow or Schoolhouse Rock, but Kitchen giving DFS tips.
Amazing.
When Magic School Bus flash draft. All right. Let's move on to Overzet's overview. As far as injuries are concerned, Peter, you've got Jalen, you've got Lenny.
Jalen who? About.
He's a quarterback for
the Eagles. You think he's injured?
Well, he had they have removed some play. I was trying to set Pete up. They have removed in the past some running plays for him, but they're saying now that they might set him up for running plays. Like he is like completely
good research,
healthy.
David. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, that's the only way they're going to be able to win, healthy or not.
Yeah. All right. So Davis, I will give you a chance to interrupt in a second, but I want to get to Peter's Overzet overview now for this upcoming weekend of games.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's a real, interesting slate of games. I think this is a slate where, you know, it's an action junkie's dream, whether you're wanting to do playoff best ball drafts, what you're wanting to, if you're wanting to bet props. I mean, we got them for you this weekend. I think the interesting thing for me, Dave, you know, I've been grinding these best ball drafts and, you know, there is definitely an overconfidence in the market. You know, there are some things that the market has decided is going to happen. The Bengals are going to beat the Raiders. Everyone has agreed on that. And yet the line is now down from -6 to -5 for the Bengals, gives them an implied chance of winning this matchup a third of the time. And yet you can get these guys free in these drafts. So I think those are the kind of angles I'm looking at on this slate. Where can I find value? You know, where is the market being overconfident? And I'm just pushing those edges, Dave.
I want to interject myself too, because I think that's a good call. highlighting that Raiders-Bengals game, because I think it's pretty clear that whoever wins that game is going to win the following week too.
Easily, yeah. Great spot for whoever wins that
game. It is kind of a walkover path to the conference championship game.
I know you guys are trying to make a Titans joke, but...
But David is also terrified of the Raiders.
I would much rather play the Raiders or the Bengals than the Patriots. Like at the, because the Titans don't play the winner of that game.
Well, they play likely. They play the lowest remaining seed. Yeah.
Thank you. As Tuttle and I know, it's not like a regular bracket. It's the Packers and the Titans play. So I mean, honestly, everyone's rooting here for Pittsburgh, so we can play like Dusty Ben. But I would much rather play the winner of that 4-5 game than the Pats.
Can you imagine a Patriots Titans game?
No,
just kill me.
Just like, I can imagine. I can imagine a game I won't be watching.
That doesn't surprise me at all. All right, Davis, what are your thoughts on this weekend's games? I know you've been really itching to get in there and give some takes.
I mean, I think that some of the most interesting spots are the one that Pete already mentioned, that's more for like the one and done style contest, like the NFC and the FFPC playoff contest. I also think that people are really discounting the Arizona Cardinals. Like, people are just done with them. Like, Kyler sucks, Cliff sucks. They're not as good without DeAndre Hopkins, but I don't know. I just feel like this offense has given us a lot of like really good fantasy points pretty much all year. Christian Kirk also ended the year on a big wet womp, as he was chalk last week, 3 targets, 2 receptions, 43 yards against Seattle. And that's also one of those games. I can definitely see the Cardinals beating the Rams, just that, Stafford is clearly playing banged up. He's got, who knows what his actual injuries are, but I can see them winning. And then, the funniest scenario is that Kansas City might not have Daryl and might not have Clyde. So Derek Gore might be the fantasy football playoff hero that we didn't know we needed.
Running backs don't matter. I know you mentioned last week, and I know it's a poor thinking show, but a lot of people thank me for the Firkser play last week as a cheap tight end.
A lot of people thanked.
Well, at least one person.
Can we see one receipt of this?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Homebrew Danny.
He memorized this.
Shout out to Soccer
Dave.
You said that
way too quick.
For the Firkser call. If you guys don't think I have the receipts pulled up. Davis, didn't we make a $25 bet on Master Bates versus... John Bates versus Firkser, Firk Daddy?
Maybe. If you want me to send you $25, no, I'll send you $25.
Just keep it, Davis.
Dave just wants the clout. That's all I need.
That to your looks.
How many looks bag. Tokens is that?
Not a lot. Five?
Five, yeah.
Five by the time it's on. Okay. Anyways, moving on. Tuttle, do you have any thoughts about this weekend?
Yeah, and speaking of last week, I heard you guys acknowledged me nice and early on in the show that I wasn't able to show up. So I appreciate, I feel the love.
Really early on. Like,
I know
within
I'm
the first five.
So anxious to get into the slate of games.
Talking about the incorrect games, it sounds like, with Dallas and whatnot. In terms of this weekend with the games, the most exciting thing to me is that we have a Monday night game now. And it's actually going to be a good one. So I was looking forward to that. I haven't looked over too closely on Sunday's games. I took a look at Saturday's slate a little bit. And the one thing that stood out to me the most is it's just Darren Waller smash week was my biggest takeaway. So
I like that take.
That's about it.
Okay. All right.
Let's move on. If we're talking props, I'm sitting here looking at the underdog line. They have Darren Waller set at 50.5 receiving yards. And with very nifty Roto Grinder underdog Chrome extension overlaid, I see we are projecting Waller for 73 yards. So almost a spread of 20 yards on that projection relative to the line. Are you happy, Dan Bach?
props.
That's curious that it's that that big of a spread.
Yeah.
Also, while we're on it, if you have the Scores and Odds app and the Scores and Odds subscription, you can see on the PropCast tab, the props and the projections and the difference in between on the app. It's pretty nice. I'll just give away some free alpha. The person right now above their expected prop total of 33.5 yards is none other than Cole Beasley.
That's super cool bees.
The best props play. But as props start coming in, more props start coming in, those will be populated. So, all right, as far as futures go, because we haven't really got to props yet, Peter, you just kind of skipped ahead.
My bad.
I know. Let's talk about team futures.
Mm.
You have to place a bet on an AFC team and an NFC team. Davis, where are you going?
Chiefs plus, depending on your book.
Big surprise. What?
I mean, they're the best team in the AFC. And then I think the Cowboys are the best NFC odds at 11-1.
I kind of agree with
homeward on both.
Imagine
Oklahoma takes for next year for the college football national championship.
Yeah, they suck. Yeah, so don't bet on them. Don't bet on anyone related to them. They're going to get steamrolled next year.
Because no one's going to be playing for them.
I mean, the most interesting one, the most interesting future is probably the 49ers, assuming that if they are able to beat Dallas, I think they match up pretty well with the remaining teams in the NFC. Like, I think they match up pretty well with the Packers. I guess the Buccaneers are a horrible matchup for them since the Buccaneers have such a good run defense, but I'm obviously I don't want this to happen, but I if the 49ers do beat the Cowboys, I think they can make the Super Bowl.
Really? Give me Bengals at 18-1 to win the Super Bowl and let me hedge out in that championship game.
Wow.
Against the Bills.
Okay. It does seem like the better futures value is on the NFC side. It seems pretty efficient with KC and Buffalo. The other team I'll toss in too is like the Cardinals at 25-1 too. I don't know. Maybe get Nuke back, NFC championship game. Kyler gets hot again. Get some of that return to early season form. I think they're a little undervalued there.
Yeah. NFC team for you, Tuttle, do you have any preference?
No, not really. I like the Cardinals take.
The Packers number is just brutal.
Yeah. Plus 375. I'm not betting on plus 380 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The right, funniest thing in the market right now, Dave, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little barb before I give it back over to you, is that the market prefers the Bills and the Chiefs, despite the fact that they both have to play a game this weekend. They have to win four in a row to win. The Titans only have to win three. And the market is saying, nah.
You know what we call that, Davis?
God, the Titans.
Locker room material.
Vrabel just printed out
all over that,
the futures odds.
You don't like that being used. The Titans have been disrespected this whole season, and what do they have to show for it?
What I'm waiting for is the entire Titans organization to get COVID for the third time before this.
I think they're covered. I think if someone coughs, Vrabel is just going to be like, okay, so here's a game theory question for you.
Love game theory.
Love David Kitchen game theory.
I got $200 bets before the season started on
how rich
futures, and one of them was on the Titans, one of them was on the Cardinals. So 20-1 and 30-1. How do I hedge this?
I don't think you can at this point.
Cardinals is basically same number right now then.
Yeah.
Hoping you would give me a little bit better response.
Next week there'll be favorites.
You could bet the Rams.
See, I was thinking about betting two of the NFC teams and just hoping.
No, it's
pretty. I wouldn't touch NFC right now because you're basically same odds.
Yeah, you're
they're essentially the same odds.
Not bet $100 on the Cardinals. Like
your hedge spot would be if those two teams make the conference championship, then you would have. But also, just don't hedge. What's the point?
Yeah, no, it's way too early. Why would you place that bet? if you're gonna hedge out then at slightly increased odds.
Hedging is like so very rarely the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's called building a bankroll, Davis. Maybe read
but it's not because to build a bankroll, you need to occasionally be hitting 25, 30 to one futures. Yeah. If you're going to be betting
like
them.
Free bets, right? So it's like expected value based off of nothing.
And I throw want out of it. Throw 25 each on Raiders and Bengals for the conference champions.
All right. Let's farm some engagement. Tell me what I need to do.
Nothing. Let's 10 replies, one fave, one retweet.
Yeah. We'll get everyone to like this. Put it up the YouTube algorithm. Clip it. What should Soccer Dave do?
What should I do? Okay. Rescue Dave's futures bets in the same way you rescued your moon cats.
Peter, I feel like you really need a moon cat.
What is it? Well, I can't believe I'm asking this. I regret asking it already. What is the floor of a moon cat right now?
I think
let's guess. Lawton thinks.
Okay.
I'm gonna guess 0.78 Ethereum.
Yeah, I was gonna say like 0.55.
Tuttle. Yes, I have no frame of reference. No frame of reference at what it has ever been.
Yeah, no, the floor is about what Davis says, 0.75 to 0.8 right now.
Do you think this is a good entry point, Dave?
I think it's a good entry point. Historical projects are starting to pump, and this is literally the first ever on-chain generative art project, and they're still building. We are so early, guys. We are so early.
You can hear the pain in his voice.
Funny thing, it's like I did Club Top Shot last night with MBL, and he always has his Top Shot monologue lined up, official NBA partnership, global brand. It's like you just have your canned speech for Mooncats just like on the tip of the tongue at all times.
It is so nice. Like I actually have embraced it. I enjoy it. Like I made the conscious decision to not go chasing out all these other projects and gas wars and everything else. And it's just nice just checking in on one project, two projects, and still getting airdrops and just reinvesting that.
What'd you do with your
Mooncats are my Bitcoin, Davis.
It's a terrible strategy for you to be in for the course of your life, but I'm glad you found something.
Let's check in a year from now, fella.
One mooncat equals one mooncat.
I want to see a conversation with Dave's financial advisor. And he's like, I'm thinking about getting you into some more risk assets here. And he's like, say no more. Let me show you my cats.
Let me show you this crazy monthly subscription box that I still have.
Legit had to sit down with my financial advisor and try to, and like, I promise you, I turned the phone around. I was like, this is what they look like. And it was a picture of a moon cat. And like his mind was blown. But if we can get people to come around, like Davis, like Smiz, Tuttle's probably next.
How have you not gotten Smiz to buy a moon cat? This feels right up his alley.
Oh, I will. All I gotta do is make
it's an indictment on the project if Smiz is
if Smiz doesn't have one yet, it's not good.
But Davis, like, you know how you did not get a Bored Ape because you did not like people in the project?
Yep. I still feel that way.
See a Nazi cats. Propaganda across my time feed the other day about the Bored Apes.
This is a classic Tuttle comment on the Swole Cat. We're all having fun at the Tuttle.
So one of the most painful, it's like, this is all, it used to be painful. Now it's just part of the healing process, being able to talk about it. But I sent out a Bored Ape tweet and Tuttle replied with, cool. And then later deleted it, but it was about making my Bored Ape my profile picture. And then I was like, what if subconsciously Tuttle was responsible for me paper handing the apes?
I was actually being nice because you said yesterday you kind of had a similar response. You said, well, I hope this is similar to the Bored Apes tweet.
Yeah, I hope this is the catalyst that kind of takes the project to the moon.
Yeah, and I had the tweet that I didn't send. I hope you don't paper hand it like that. Oh, but I didn't send it. I was in a nice mood yesterday.
No, I mean, this is a known fact. Like you can tell me that. All right, let's move on. I'm glad that we almost made it Almost made it.
Should we build a DK lineup for the full slate Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
I say we should do an underdog draft.
Okay.
Those are so long.
Let's do a DraftKings 20 rounder.
20 round.
Let's do a drafters.
Can we address like how did this happen? How did this pass?
Best ball, but let's make it as painful as possible. No CSV uploads, 20 rounds.
They basically just had to have been like, we can just copy the code from our season long product, right?
Yeah.
And do no adapt. That had to have been it. I can't think of any other reason.
Here's my request. If you're going to give something as time consuming as a 20 round draft, give us auction. Like, give us something new. Give us something that
super
we
flex
really...
would have been fun.
Super flex.
Tight end premium.
Super flex tight end best ball premium.
With an auction draft. Dynasty.
With an auction draft. Shout out to my second place team and losing to Britt Devine last week. All right. Let's move on to what are we going to do? We're going to do a underdog. Like, I don't care what we do. If y'all want to like talk about it and like talk about strategy while we do it.
Yeah. I do just kind of want to say, I do have a hard out at 3:30 today.
You do not.
I don't have a hard out. I can stay here as long as we need.
Someone call Davis's bluff on this.
How long does the underdog draft take?
Yeah. Well, we're filibusting I've done two of them the show, since Davis. We started.
Yeah,
I've
they take like they take started, like 10
so
minutes.
15 minutes. The mitten three did fill up though, so it's just gauntlet or big mitten season right now.
And how much is gauntlet?
25, Dave.
Oh my gosh, that is a big learning curve.
I'll teach you, Dave.
You just want to stack teams, Dave.
You want to stack the Titans.
Yeah.
I hear the Titans provide pretty good value because no one's really taking them serious.
Well, I think it's also because they don't score points in round one, and advancing is a big part of this contest.
Yeah. Pats. I've heard that Pats and Titans are currently the best value right now.
Basically, all of the teams that aren't favored. I mean, you can get the Raiders for free at the end of drafts. You can get any of the Eagles at the end of drafts for free. And then even like the 49ers and Cardinals are relatively pretty cheap. You can like basically complete those entire, you know, best player sets after round mm-hmm. five.
All right. You have 45 seconds for an elevator pitch, Peter.
On what?
To tell us what playoff best ball is, roster construction, and then just one strategy. 45 seconds.
Is this going to be clipped into a YouTube short for max SEO? Okay.
Of course it is.
All right. Go. Underdog has playoff best ball contest. They have a contest called the Gauntlet with a $200,000 first prize. You do a 10 round draft with six other competitors. Only the top team out of your group of six advances out of round one. So the layers of this contest are not only do you have to worry about scoring enough points in the wild card round to advance, but you also ultimately want to set up to have a full starting lineup in the Super Bowl where you can compete for your top prize of $200,000. The starting lineup requirements are one QB, one running back, two wide receivers in one flex, five bench spots, half point PPR scoring. There are layers and layers of strategy as you try to fit together the puzzle pieces to complete a full starting Super Bowl lineup while advancing.
Okay. So you didn't give us the one thing I really asked you to talk about.
He wants to know how many to take at every position, Peter.
Lineup construction.
Well, there's literally almost an infinite amount of construction.
So roster construction, it's not like regular season best ball where it's two or three quarterbacks.
You start a quarterback, one running back, two wide receivers / tight end, one flex, and you have five on your bench.
Yeah, he already said that, Davis. I'm wondering about like how many of each position should you draft?
All right, make sure you cut this part out for the SEO part because it was a little rough into this transition here, Dave. But the main thing you obviously need is you do want to have a quarterback who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. So at the bare minimum, you're going to need one quarterback. If you take an Aaron Rodgers or Ryan Tannehill, you're going to need a second quarterback because you're going to have to score enough points to advance out of round one. I do all kinds of different constructions. I've done 4-4-2. I've done 4-3-2-1. I've done 5-5s. I've done 4-2-2-2s. But you're trying to think through where those puzzle pieces are fitting together from opposite conferences. Sometimes if I do, say, a Bill stack without Devin Singletary, I don't have a running back for my Super Bowl team because I want the Bills there. So I got to make sure all my running backs are coming from the NFC. So then you think through those pairings. So there's lots of layers here, Dave.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now I see why Tuttle had asked about all this, had researched, and then decided, I'm not going to play. I'm good. So, Peter, here's my question, and this won't be on the YouTube clip at all, but
okay,
how much time have you spent drafting playoff best ball teams? Like when Lauren says, Peter, can you help out with this? Do you say, honey, I'm working?
I say that all the time. Whenever she asks me to do anything, I say, honey, I'm working. Yeah. Oh man, Sony Michel just sniped. I don't know. I probably 5 hours, I guess. I don't know. They're pretty quick and easy to do while multitasking once you get familiar with the ADPs.
The whole multitask thing. Okay. Davis, what do you got going on right now?
You know.
Say it, Davis. Tell us what's on your screen right now.
He's tilting the Antonio Rudiger girl that just happened.
I am watching that game. And I am also, I bet on Spurs in that game. And also I didn't play Antonio Rudiger in any of my showdown lineups. So I can now give my full attention to the show as
okay, well, good.
Dude, the center back goal is just
good. So that question that Peter just asked you, what do you think?
About how much time I've spent on these?
No.
I don't know. What did Peter ask me?
It's too late. We got to move on. All right.
I don't think he asked me anything. I think you're bluffing.
No, I'm not. So let's move on.
Roll back the tape.
If you could just eyes and ears appear, please, that'd be great. let's talk about how many playoff best ball teams you've done, Davis.
I have not done any. Or I think when they first released the mitten, I think I did like 3 or 4.
So you're telling us all about the roster construction. You haven't done any.
It's not that difficult to comprehend.
It's Davis's job to know these scoring settings. He's a fantasy analyst.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, part of it is that I know once I start, like if I was like doing it like Peter, it would be like all consuming. And then it'd be like, well, I just have $3,200 in mitten entries and they're all loaded up with the Chiefs and the Cowboys. And if they lose, and if they lose in the second round, it's going to be even more painful. Like at least with regular season best ball, I can tell myself I'm drawing live to break even basically until the final week, but you can't even tell yourself that lie with the playoff stuff.
We had some people, Davis, I don't know if you saw the team, that we drafted on Ship Chasing a few weeks ago, but it's like demoralized people into drafting Cowboys and Chiefs stacks because we got the Mahomes, Kelsey Hill, Dak, Amari, Zeke, Schultz, and then AJ Dillon and MBS, like all on the same team. And then everyone just said, all right, I guess I'm done trying to draft that stack in the gauntlet.
Owned the libs. You love to see it.
You love to see it.
All right, let's go down this week and
get talk DraftKings construction real quick.
What about?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if Pete could give
pick whoever you want
on how we're drafting on DraftKings.
What are the prize pools like on DraftKings? Like, is it even worth like torturing yourself through it?
Not really. Like, I mean,
well, Justin Herzig set his default rankings and auto draft 150 lineups.
I think I saw him say on Twitter he's skipping it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think he just wrapped up. I can't believe. I mean, I'll probably get to like 40 or 45 gauntlet drafts. I mean, him and Eagles, who's an absolute underdog James. Grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Eagles.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, I get it. Kitchen. Yeah. they maxed it and I don't even know how. It's an incredible feat.
Okay.
DK's big one is 20K to first. It looks like, is there
really just 20K?
Yeah, that's not worth it.
20K right. For 20 men.
Yeah, the time investment on the 20-man drafts. I mean, how long? Because how long did – I mean, that's like a 40-minute draft, right?
45 minutes, yeah.
I'm going to put your feet to the fire right now. We're going to go down these lists of games, and you're going to tell me the best bet of the game, either money line or spread, or either spread or total.
I've already bet one of them.
Props.
Yeah, we need best props.
This is the props show. Okay.
Well, PD Props is going to give his, but we got plenty of time to talk about football, guys. unless you want to move on to our
back. What happened to this draft that was going to happen?
I don't think
I'm in one, and it you guys missed out on one of the softest gauntlet drafts I've been in yet.
I'm just like, they don't pay me enough for the show to just donate $25 to all the other draft participants. Okay. Saturday, the first game, Raiders and Bengals, 5.5 favorite for Cincinnati, over under a 49. You have to pick one of those bets, Davis. Which is that?
Cowboys money line.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm doing a draft, and even I know what Kitchen has.
That is a bit. Oh, Davis, good. I feel like you're doing a bit right now. Like, I literally.
I'm toe tagging Tambo on that clip from the Pat Mayo show.
Davis just, it's like the gif of the guy in the audience that wakes up and is like this.
I'm trying to.
That's the clip, though. So you got to clip that one. You got to clip that part.
Gosh. If I'm gonna put my cards on the table, I was just reading a Timex thread on why everyone who bought looks is a moron. That's pretty relevant to my interests.
Oh, do you get paid for this show? All right, Raiders and Bengals.
Props.
Darren Waller.
Raiders and Bengals. You have to pick one bet from this game, either the spread or the total. The total's 49. The spread's 5.5.
Over 49.
And I'm taking Raiders with the points. Give me plus 5.5.
Yeah.
Pete is fading the public. I like Raiders money line.
Ooh. Okay. Davis says, hold my beer.
I like Raiders too. Like, there's something about destiny with this team. They just keep on fighting.
So, did they remind you of another plucky team that continues to surprise the world?
Minus like scandals and coaching, like everything else. Yes, they have grit. All right, let's move on. Patriots and Bills, spreads 4 towards Buffalo and over under of 44.
Bills money line.
Okay, that's not an option, but
Bills minus
why would Bills money line not be an option in the Bills game?
Because we're just doing spread and total. I should have said this multiple times before we started this, though. It's my fault.
I mean, Bills, whatever. Bills, alternate team total. Bills, alternate spread. Tees to 10. Just Bills. All the Bills.
Okay. Tuttle, what'd you say?
Bills. It's a square. We're squares, but whatever.
No, fine. We all just took the Raiders. We're not squares.
I'll give you an under. I think this whole, like, Devin Singletary stuff is just getting way too frothy as far as like how convinced everyone is that he's this bell cow back.
60, the Devin Singletary markets are frothy.
60 rushing yard prop on underdog. The RG projection has it at 49. Give me the under on Singletary. Okay. 60 rushing yards. Props.
That sounds like a really painful props to take.
I'll leak some alpha on the show for those, the dozens of you still watching, listening.
What is, how many people are actually watching right now?
Laden thinks 74.
Yeah, but are they really watching, or are they also reading Timex threads?
128. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's right. go.
So leaking some alpha. Let's go. Leaking some alpha here on Scores and Odds. Kevin Roth predicts under 44. Actually, his was under 44.5, but let's just sacrifice that. He says the weather is going to be a little bit cold. Conditions are not going to be ripe for a high-scoring affair. So, all right. Moving on to the next game. That is Eagles and Bucks, plus 8.5, and over under a 46. Davis?
Bucks and the points. Cam Brate anytime touchdown, or actually no, Cam Brate first touchdown score, whenever that comes out, is assuming it's 10-1 or better.
Okay. Tuttle.
We're going over.
Ooh. Okay. Peter.
I'm taking Eagles with the points. I don't buy this version of the Bucks. Give me the 8.5 or whatever.
They have struggled. I kind of like Tuttle. I kind of like the over as well. So you might want to get off that. All right, San Francisco and Dallas, -3 Dallas, over 50 and a half.
So I don't want this to be true, but it feels like the under is so good here because, you know, San Francisco is doing at least one 17 play, 12 minute drive where they gain 4 yards per play. And that crushes an over. And, but
it was so brutal, like those runs, like in the end arounds and everything else, they grind it out.
I mean, if Dak shows up and plays well and is not hurt and it plays like he did against the Washington football team, or honestly, like he did, in week 18 as well. I mean, they win this game going away, but the Cowboys have just had so many no-show games this year.
Yeah. It feels like a trap, but I'm falling for it. Give me Cowboys -3. Tuttle?
Boys -3.
Peter?
Yeah, man, this is the public. No, I've been against the public with every one of my picks. Raiders, fading Devin Singletary. I mean, I'm like King Sharp over here.
King Sharp.
Man, I'm excited for this game. I do like Dallas though. I mean, I think right when everyone talks themselves into Jimmy G being competent enough to take him on a Super Bowl run, he is going to break your heart with a couple back-breaking interceptions here.
Yeah.
I need the inside dish on when CeeDee Lamb's going to stop being a beta.
Never.
CeeDee and Amari.
Well, Amari's whatever.
I mean, the problem is just that's how they want to play. Like that is the fundamental issue, is that the way that they're winning these games right now, they are all as an organization, they're all comfortable with it.
It's a Cedric Wilson team now. All right, Steelers and Chiefs, -12.5, over under 46. Is anyone taking Pittsburgh in the points?
I can't take Pittsburgh. I do think this could be a shootout game, though. I think it'd be a pretty fun fantasy game.
Is it a shootout if Kansas City scores 40 and Pittsburgh scores 7?
Like, how many points 20. Do you think?
Like 40
if
to
you
20
think it's a
game.
Shootout, like bet the alternate team total for Pittsburgh because it is not good.
So. I think Kansas City is going to – like the Steelers have just shown no ability to – get to 30 on offense. Like it's just so painful watching them try to move the ball.
They're gonna let Ben throw it 75 times for his last game.
They already did. I said this to you yesterday. They already did that. They threw 30 times in the first half in that the week 17 game, and they had like 98 passing yards.
Yeah, do the Ben PD props, the over passing attempts
for Ben. Yeah, what is the attempts at?
It won't be out yet.
Not out yet.
Wow.
Great. But that is
great
that
idea
is
for a prop show on a Wednesday.
Tuttle. That's one that the ETR guys have already sent the invented target out to their Discord about, you know,
really?
I'm just making a joke about how some of the, I mean, the most annoying people on Twitter are sports betting Twitter people, and the sports betting Twitter people have been annoyed that ETR has ruined quote unquote the softness of the props market. That's their new thing to be mad about.
Nice.
That that Draymond Green stuff was crazy from the other night.
The you pop, see that? Props paid out, right?
Yeah, I think they
did. DraftKings ever pay them out?
Can someone give me the TLDR on this because I missed it?
Draymond started just in honor of Clay, but he only
ceremonious
played
7 seconds. Yeah.
So everyone was doing all these like single game parlays with Draymond unders and just were absolutely raking.
Yeah, and so if you did any Draymond overs, they voided those bets. And if it did under, they eventually paid out. Well, most sites. I didn't hear if DraftKings ever.
The over people should have not had those voided, though. That's not the language of the bet. Yeah, they should have lost.
I kind of agree with that, but I don't mind like consumer benefits.
This is like where Davis is rooting for the owners to, you know, over the players. Yeah,
capital, no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying like I've been on the other side of that, of trying to angle shoot the sports book before because of the terminology of the wager, and you have to honor the terminology of the wager.
Davis, how much do you hate Web3?
Like the terminology or what it actually is?
No, what it represents, the fact that the people can control the power instead of the
corporations. I mean, in theory, that's true, but Web3 is just as centralized as Web2 is.
I knew you hated Web3. I knew it. You hate, hate when the people get the power.
I use Web3 every day, bud.
Okay, last one and the best one, Cardinals and Rams. This title, you mentioned it. A Monday night game, Cardinals and Rams. It's going to be fun. 3.5 towards LA, over under a 49.
Take 3.5 Rams.
Okay.
To cover.
3.5 for the Rams?
Yep.
Okay. Davis?
Cardinals money line.
Ooh, spicy. I love it. So does my $100 free bet.
I mean, because you just know, you know they're down 5, 2 minutes left. Cliff's kicking that field goal. You know.
All right. Peter?
Yeah, well, every time I want to, you know, say a bet, I was going to say Cardinals plus 4, and then Davis just whips out his nutsack and says, screw it, we're doing the money line.
Well, I mean, isn't that, I guess I don't really, I am certainly no sports betting expert, but if you're going to bet, if you're going to bet a total under 6, isn't it just better to take the money line?
I don't know.
It depends on if they cover or not.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Sports betting Twitter now thankful for the Swolecast for softening up the betting markets.
Sosa says good teams win, great teams cover. So he definitely had a bookie when he lived in New York. Yeah. 100% named Paulie. Okay. I'm going to go with Rams money line, but I'm going to parlay it with Chiefs money line. So it gets a little bit of extra juice. Cause that's just sharp right there.
For like 10 minutes on Sunday night, Monday morning, you could bet Chiefs minus 12.5. It got immediately pushed, but great time to be alive.
Chiefs minus 12.5 is what it's at right now.
It was at 13.5 last I looked.
No, it's 12.5. So go ahead. Hammer that line, Davis.
I already bet it.
Books don't
early
know
bird
what
gets
doing.
The same line as everybody else.
Yeah.
If you're not betting early, you're not getting any closing line value, bro.
Imagine people thought like this show doesn't give great info as it pertains to DFS, but imagine if we just pivoted to just sports
betting.
God.
Honest take, how would you guys have liked to see the DFS slate configured for this weekend? Because what we're getting is showdown in 2-game slates. You guys think that's the way to do it? Or would you have preferred like a funky, you know, 5-game slate?
I want it all. Like I want it, but that's just like the boomer OG DFS guy in me. Like I want as many games as possible, as much game theory as possible, where people are fading the first game, they can register, you know, whatever dummy shell lineup, see what it's like, pivot. Like give me all of that stuff. But I know that's not in the best interest of these sites. They're never going to do it. But that's what I would want.
I want all the GPPs to be for all the games, and then huge showdown slates, like very, very small prize pools for the 2-gamers and the 4-gamers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like all showdown.
That would have been ideal, because then you play it as a 5-game main slate and then fire on the showdowns. The 2-game stuff, I can't get excited for it.
Like I'm just gonna have to be on my computer all weekend. Like it's just
how big are the showdown?
Honey, I'm working.
Jesus.
I do actually say that all the time. That is very frequent. Exactly like that too.
All right. I think we're almost out of time.
Hard to believe.
Because I have a hard out.
I don't have a hard out. Let's keep going, Dave. Let's keep the good times rolling.
Davis, you mentioned looks being kind of the same class as DraftKings compared to DFS. So looks rare, the new NFT marketplace just released an airdrop. I don't even know what it was at. Last time I looked, I think it was at $4.50 a share. When it first came out, it went to $5 and then like down to $1.10, which is where I thought you would sell, if we're being honest, Davis. But you staked it.
I love staking. Staking that like makes sense to me. Like I've been waiting for an Ethereum-based project where staking makes sense. And like this one finally makes a little bit of sense to me. So I was all in.
I've been looking for Ethereum-based project where wash trading makes sense, and here we are. So works out for both.
Yeah, Kitchen, how are you wash trading your Mooncast back and forth to yourself on Square right
now? We get all those 2% rewards. I bought a Loot Prince off of LuxRare. That was my first purchase for 0.01 ETH. It's like I paid three times in gas for what the – because someone just listed it so they could claim their airdrop. What a fish. It was a tank too. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
What was it called?
A Loot Print, Tuttle. Keep up. It's
Loot? L-O-O-T?
Yeah, a Loot Print. It's for the upcoming game from Ponderware that works with Mooncast. Okay. Project.
I like NFTs, but this, like some NFT, like when you start to say it out loud, I'm just like, NFTs are the dumbest thing humanity's ever done.
Davis, what is the dumbest NFT project that if you could take back, you would not have invested in?
I would not have sent Pete 0.3 something Ethereum for 3 Tokyo 10s and then seen them immediately, like before Pete had sent me the Tokyo 10s back, they were at like zero, like literally zero.
What are Tokyo 10s?
Who knows? They're just some dumb thing.
Is this,
but no, like what is it? Is it a profile picture? Is it some sort of like play to earn thing?
No, profile picture. I mean, I listed them up for 0.0 Ethereum and that was it.
The one thing, I mean, Davis, the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you in your NFT career was when you sent the tweet about the golden pups on Twitter.
That was pretty bad. I liked those though.
What was it?
Some dusty project that Davis tweeted out to pump.
Didn't that one donate money at least?
Yeah, that was what I liked about it. Okay. They were donating. They were
now I'm the asshole.
We can't stop it. You donated to the Humane Society.
I understand. This is why I'm saying, like, I don't want to go back to the summer. I don't want to go to season, because you get so desperate. You see your bags drop so low, and so you're like, I'm gonna use my platform and promote this.
The cuddly kangaroos, was that what they were called? Something kangaroos that was a rug. Was they stole the Ethereum? Like the devs stole the Ethereum that was used to mint them. That was one of the most tilting ones, because it was like, oh, these are actually selling a little bit. This is nice, and then immediate drop to zero.
Yeah,
not great.
Why is this website look terrible? This is my first time on this LuxRare website or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's not terrible, Tuttle.
Why does it look so atrocious? Is it LuxRare.tech? The address?
Oh, I'm scared to see what link you've
got. Yeah, you Tuttle.
Somebody
send
me in Discord.
Do not
for my wallet.
Yeah, dude, if Tuttle had a Bored Ape, it would be gone right now.
No, I'm not.
Tuttle
that dumb.
Would be like the epitome of the Bored Ape client.
Have we ever figured out why so many people is bored? Like, why is the average Bored Ape user an
Because
idiot?
The average Bored Ape user are rich people that are not have not previously been in crypto.
It's like you should know not to give your password away. Like why? Like why are these people giving? Okay. No, I know.
LuxRare.org looks good. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That is.
Now I kind of want to go
much nicer looking
on my non-crypto computer. I want to go to LuxRare.tech to see.
Well, LuxRare needs to work on their SEO. Is what they need to do. Let me tell you that right now.
Maybe some.
You Google LuxRare, and that's the first one that comes up. They're not. The not actual great. LuxRare is not very. It's actually like 6 links down.
Well, it's because it just came out, so it's got to get some time.
No, I mean, I do think it's interesting considering we've been in an industry where this has happened, where the behemoth FanDuel got overtaken by the more aggressive, newer company, DraftKings. I do think it is interesting because everyone hates OpenSea. I mean, who likes OpenSea? Everyone complains about OpenSea all the time.
Well, it's like, it's the early days of DFS where we sometimes would complain about FanDuel, but we still would play there because
right,
they had the biggest contest.
That's what I'm saying. So and LuxRare is not good to use yet. I mean,
you can't filter by, or you can't order in like ascending or descending order, which is, that's the most tilting thing.
And you can't, you know, search by traits or do, I mean,
but it is they do, it looks like, care about the community, which is important.
Right. That's what's cool about.
They're incentivizing, just like DraftKings incentivized users with overlay
missions and crowns and stuff.
Well, yeah, but before that, overlay is how they initially like got this, you know.
Yeah, basically they're trying to gamify people getting on their website.
Yeah. And listen, the NFT marketplace industry was ripe for disruption, Peter.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Dave. I mean, Web3 is all about disruption and shit's getting disrupted hard right now.
Hard.
Hey, by the way, man's token at 0.1, if anybody wants to get in on the floor.
I might buy one.
You should have bought one when it first came out, Dave. It's just as a token of appreciation.
I didn't even know how.
Should I have man sweep the floor and then send you an influencer one for a tweet?
Yes.
Multiple tweets.
One tweet.
One thread. Two tweets.
Here's why. Man's coin is one of the most, I don't know. I was going to come up with a thread.
I'm not paying you for a tweet. I'll tell you that.
Try to come up with a thread tweets.
I don't know how much I can pay for three likes and one pity reply.
Thought we got a terrible take for us this week.
We didn't even talk about the games.
We did.
I need it.
Davis, we tried and then you didn't even answer the right game.
You were too busy reading. Like, when I ask you what you were doing, you listed off four things. It wasn't even just one thing you were distracted with. You listed four things.
To be fair to Davis, that Rudiger goal was pretty tilting.
It was really tilting.
Okay. Well, sorry, guys. All right.
No terrible takes. It's just it's a Darren Waller smash.
I don't think he'll be that popular on the primary slate or in playoff contests.
See, that's the problem. Primary, he's a better play because the two gamer obviously condenses options quite a bit. But yeah, he's gonna smash.
All right. I don't know why you would do this, but like and subscribe to the Swolecast YouTube channel. We have 3,620 subscribers to the Swolecast channel. So moving on up. Peter, final thoughts?
No, get in those props. Use promo code Grinders at all of your favorite sports books.
But mostly BetMGM.
BetMGM, Roto Grinders, props.
Yeah, promo. They actually extended. Thank you for reminding me, Peter.
Extended
the BetMGM promo, so you can still use Grinders Bet.
David, what's your best bet of the weekend?
Yeah, let's give us the Gold Star Kitchen Lock of the week.
Yeah,
it's Dallas minus three.
I don't love that.
You got mushed.
Yeah, are you trying to reverse jinx me, bro?
But in fact, I would take like Dallas, like alternate line, like -9.5, and let's just get a double digit victory.
I'm good with that because if Jimmy G is bad, it's gonna be bad. It's not gonna be three.
All Dallas has to do is stop the run. Like that's all they have to do. If San Francisco has to play from behind, it's gonna be ugly. Except if they're thinking out loud, they're behind 17 points to the Rams and they ended up coming back and winning. But besides that,
well, Debo is not going to throw a touchdown in this game, probably.
Oh man. Okay. But yeah, that's the alpha. And also I just follow scores and odds. I just love this little app. It's where I get all my takes. Okay.
That's like they have Josh Norris do the underdog TV ads. We're going to need to get Kitchen doing scores and odds. And it's just, I just love this little app. I can't get enough of this.
Like I'm the guy that they should like. I'm the stereotypical guy. Can't I don't have time. Oh wait, I can go to my scores and odds.
Are you saying you're a central casting for the type of fish?
No, I mean Kitchen's. Tuttle. Now that I think about it, Kitchen's transformation into a sports betting guy actually makes a ton of sense because it's way less work.
Yeah,
than
100%
DFS lineups. Like, he literally has to click like three buttons on his phone. It's so much easier than, you know, doing NBA lineups like 6 seconds before lock.
David is very impulsive with his gambling, and that's much better for sports betting than
Yeah.
Like last night, what is there to do? Oh, wait, because I had already hammered the under per scores and odds in that Nuggets game, and the halftime total was like 50. Like, it was so low. There was no possible chance they were going to win. So I'm like, oh, it's free money. Oh, wait, UNLV's playing New Mexico? Let's go. So like, that's how that's how you run it up, friends. That is how you
How you run it up.
Make a plan and stick to it. All right, Peter, Dave, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I had a heart out 2 minutes ago. Yeah.
That's what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for the week playoff wildcard weekend Swolecast. We'll see you maybe next week. I don't know. It depends on.
Yes.
Well, Davis, you're saying yes, but I got to check the EPL schedule, and then we'll get back. We'll see you later on the Swolecast here at rotogrinders.com.